Thank you, Van. When I first started coming here to this church, I'm not used to one of these. I'll probably trip over myself. When I first started coming to this church here, it's one of these situations out here that Martha and I were at a crossroads in life. We'd been faithfully going to this church, another church, for several years. Since we first got married, we actually went church shopping. A lot of us that have found our path in here may go church shopping from time to time. But we were church shopping, and we went from church to church to church, and we found this church, and we got involved in this church, and this was an interesting part of my life. My story isn't that I recently found Christ. I was baptized when I was in the 10th grade. But the thing I've learned in life is that God has got the ability, and He can see further down that road that His plan works than we can even imagine is there. We're very limited in our vision. So I was on my professional career path. I'm not going to go through all the details on it, but Martha and I had become very comfortable in life. It's a good job, great salary. We're doing a lot of good things. Our son was born. Just a lot of things were moving in life. And we'd become, in our eyes, what were good servants of God by today's standard. At that time, we went to the right church with the right people. We were in church at 11 o'clock. If they did a Wednesday night dinner, we were there. We gave to all the noble causes, was moved up, myself personally, took leadership positions in the church. At the time, I was in with the right people and made some good friends. But things started changing in that church. Leadership changes and things started changing in that church. And one of the things that started changing in that church was my uneasiness. Just started being uneasy. We would go to church. And early on in our life, we would go to church. And we would have hour-long discussions at some point during the week over the message. We were now at the point we would go to church and we would come back and pick apart everything that was going on in that church that was wrong. And it could end up in heated debates. And the thing about it was, we had this side that we couldn't really see where it was anymore. We had this side we couldn't really see where it was anymore. And it was becoming a very interesting situation inside of us. So much so that we actually, I won't say we quit going to church, we stopped for a few moments. And we all reached that point in our lives. But probably the biggest thing was we were actually trying to go to church one morning, and we were on our way to this church on our regular routine, as we did as good Christians. And lo and behold, something happened, and we hit a roadblock. We just decided, and we ended up at Christ Community. So we came here and we worked for a little bit. Crossed paths with Van, and we started having these conversations again, and things started moving again in our lives. Before we had left the other church, there was a situation that arose in our life, and I'm going to go back and restate a couple things I said. We were comfortable. I was very comfortable. My career was moving. Life was good. And then I encountered a very humbling situation, a very humbling situation. I was at the peak of my career, close to 30 years old. I was 2 years away from being named CEO of a North Carolina bank. God blessed me very well early on in life. And I was living the routine. I knew people. I could call people. It was great. And then, as it came my time to move up into the executive realm, I felt this little push at me here. And I always call that my Moses moment. It was like God says, okay, I brought you here and let you see it, and I'm going to let you wonder for a little while and try to figure out what's going on. So I prayed over it and prayed over it. I mean, that was the point of my life, what I had worked for. So hard to have the chair of the board of a bank sit down with me and says, you're the number two person in our succession plan. We've recorded it with the FDIC and the state bank examiners. My path was set. Now, we stayed with the church. Everything was going well. And then an incident happened. then it was a great experience for me because it really started to change my life. Martha and I have always been private people. Never said much about what was going on in our lives. And our little girl was born. And our little girl was born, and not to go into great detail over her whole situation out there, but she was born. And at 6 months old, she was smaller than she was the day she was born. So we were starting to do the route of the doctors at Chapel Hill and all of this stuff up here. And it was a very humbling experience to be able to sit there that day in Chapel Hill after sitting in a doctor's office with a doctor for an hour and 20 minutes, actually two doctors, and having a doctor say, you know, the future of your child is in the hands of God. We've got no explanation for what is wrong with your little girl. Now, being the proud father I was, I felt like I had just got hit square in the back. I had really no direction. And this is where God started changing my life and sort of started moving things along a little bit more in His path. So we went down that path. We decided at this church we would go back to where we had been members of for all this time. Sunday school. I was teaching Sunday school there. So Martha and I had a long talk that morning and decided it was time that we actually sit down and told our Sunday school class what the situation was with our little girl. And as we went through that, and we discussed and we let all these people that were close to us in on this, it was an interesting time because it was one of the first times in life that I realized I had no control. In my business world, which was where I lived at, I could pick up the phone and call and solve a problem. I could get somebody at the State Banking Commission or here or there, and we could get these situations worked out. And probably the most humbling thing that happened that day was a gentleman that's now a member of this congregation, was a member of our Sunday school class at that time. And he stands up that day during 11 o'clock during the prayer and concerns, and he simply states, we need to remember the Brown family and the current situation they're going through. Now, you've got to realize this gentleman sat towards the back. We always sat towards the front. And as I was standing there, it was just like this overpowering weakness hit my legs. That, Danny, you have no control. So, as time went through, encountered some other people, things started turning south for our relationship with the church, not necessarily for the church, where God had us at, so much so that I feel God uprooted us and brought us here. Now, as God brought me here and brought my family here, it was always interesting to me. I could come in this church and it was alive. I could not leave this place without just this heartfelt feeling of the Spirit. Really not knowing what was going on, just that I loved to be here. So we came, we became members, went through the new member class, interacted with Van. And then I turned 40 years old. I'm not going to make you do this. Raise your hand if you can remember when you turned 40. All right, you turned 40 years old. Do you remember what thoughts were going through your mind when you turned 40 years old? Most people go through a midlife crisis. I didn't go through a midlife crisis at 40 years old. I can remember my 40th birthday today just like it was yesterday, because through my resignation when I decided that this wasn't where I wanted to be at in the banking world and chasing down a lot of things in life, God had brought Martha and I through a series of events. We were now blessed at a point that I could be at home working. I was working out of my house. So that morning on my birthday, 2007, Martha gets up. She takes the kids wherever they were going that day because it was during the summertime. I got up and I went to my office. And I went through my normal routine. You know, I hit my computer and saw what was going on. And then there was this just amazing thing that happened in that day. I spent the next 3 hours in my office doing nothing but laughing and crying. My whole life, as I was sitting there looking back on it, had been this building program God had put in place to show me that you go so far, but you're totally dependent on me. You go so far, but you're totally dependent on me. So for my 40th birthday, instead of getting a midlife crisis, I got a visit from the Holy Spirit. And it changed my life. And it changed my life. I remember sitting in my office, sitting there crying. Martha was gone all day for some odd reason. I wonder why. But just sitting there and experience this. And it won't fear. It was this great love. It was this compassion. It was this excitement. It was all of these good things rolled up. So what do you do with it? I don't know. I'm a businessman. I have been walking the world of economics and finance and working in banks with the stock market and all of these years, and now my life has totally got something else added into it. And notice I didn't say throughout. It just added something else into it. So I sought out the counsel of Van up here as we roll through this process. Whole series of events of talking about things and looking at stuff. And then, wow, exploring the Scriptures. You know, that's one of the greatest things in the world. I've read the Bible. I've never explored the Bible. Exploring the Scriptures. As we explored the Scriptures together and went through and stuff, one thing kept coming back to me. And one thing that kept coming back to me was I told Van, I said, you know, I don't ever see myself in front of a church. I feel like I'm called to be on the outside, to be the one that stirs things up. I don't see me being tied to a denomination or ordained in a church or anything of this nature. And I can remember clearly 2 weeks before the situation, everything started going on with Fairview. I remember telling Van, I don't see myself in front of a church. I don't see taking responsibility for a church. And then I come home that afternoon and Martha tells me that there's a gentleman that's come by the house. She can't remember his name, but he's been wanting to talk to me. So we go through all of these things here. The gentleman shows up on a Sunday afternoon and he talks to me. And we have a nice conversation about the church I was baptized in. And I was nervous. I remember coming back and talking to Van about this. I had great concern over this. I'm not schooled in the Bible. I've not had any formal training or anything of this nature. But based on a year's worth of conversations Van and I had, this was just lining up in God's plan, and it was scary. And I remember the level I took the fear to. I changed my start date there 4 or 5 times. I learned a valuable lesson in changing my start date. As ministers in the more organized faiths, when they change churches, it's usually in June. I realize why now. I chose to preach my first sermon in a new environment on Easter. That in itself is asking for disaster, if you ask me. Like, you're going into a church for the first time, a group of people for the first time. You want to be as little in notice as possible, but let's do it on the biggest day in the church. So I started on Easter. Of course, everybody said I did a great message. I've still not been able to get it out of my mind. It scared the daylights out of me. But there was an interesting thing about Fairview, and it's still there today. This little church, and I joke about it, this little church has got, if you take 2 people out of this church, their average age is about 75 or 78, and everybody's about 3 points on each side of the mean. So it's a 70-plus congregation. But let me tell you something about this church. They have worn me out. I got there. They wanted to know how quick they could get to a contemporary service. Now, when I showed up, the first meeting I had with them as a group was, listen, we want to go to a praise and worship type environment. We want a projector. We want a screen. Now, if you were on the original work crew that went there from here to do there, you remember the inside of that church was 2 colors. Red pews, red carpet, red everything, and what wasn't red was brown. And they were just storming me. We want the carpet out. We want to change this. We want to paint. We want a contemporary service. And all of this stuff. Notice I'm still working for a living. I've got a family. I've got all these other things out here. And being the head of a church, you know, this, I sort of put it down here on the side. I was working with them. We were having fun. I was learning how much I didn't know about a church and how much I didn't know in general. But I was learning about how much God knows and what His patience is. But this church, we got a work crew out from Christ Community to come out. Now, the red carpet. Now, I was scared to death about taking that red carpet. This was church that probably had $500 in its checking account. Six members. So I was kept threatening them that we would go up somewhere in a non-visible place, cut out a square carpet just to see what the floor was. My fear was if we went to tearing out that carpet, there's a mess under there. We didn't have the money to put the carpet back in with. So Christ Community had a work crew out one Saturday. I had to go somewhere, and when I came back, all the carpet was stacked up outside. Now, I was in a panic. Frank's laughing. I was in a panic. Here's this big stack of red carpet outside and all these people. And I'm like going, my Lord, they have discovered that the floor is plywood. Under there was some of the prettiest wood floors I'd ever seen. It was sort of like God was in the back of my mind just going, okay. Only thing you had to do was pull at it. Only thing you had to do was pull out. That floor was there the whole time. Now that's one of the things they're happy with. I went into that church expecting to do some pretty good things. I don't see that I've accomplished anything in that church. That's been one of the most amazing things to me. I've gone in that church and I have learned more about God and more about Christ and more about church and more about sacrifice than I could ever give that church back. This is an old congregation, but on work days there are individuals that show up. We've got an individual in our church that has had a stroke, walks on a cane, but he's always there about 10:15, 10:30 in the morning. On work days he would come and sit. If you work with a barbecue, you actually saw him chop barbecue, Mr. Billy. Chops it with one hand. Mr. Thale, who oversees that church, spends a lot of time in that church. He is the sole lockup person and trustee, quote, for that church. He goes and makes sure the heat's on. He goes and makes sure the air conditioner's on. What I found in that church was a great lesson about life, because I had a desire to break away from the traditional. And this overwhelming capacity that they wanted to do more for God. They were at the point of losing their doors to the church. And if you were here back about a year ago, one of the biggest things this church had a battle with was the denomination owned the properties. Well, one of the things that we sit down and talked about in one Sunday service was, you know, God is powerful. When God's ready for something to happen, God's going to let that one thing happen, and we can't get in the way of it. We had a prayer service on a Sunday. We had a prayer service on a Sunday to discuss with God the situation of that deed and where this church was and where this church wanted to go to. And in that conversation, we said, God, if it's time, let the deed come back to this church. The deed had been out of that church for 35 years, and for 30 years they had been fighting to get that deed back. Well, two Fridays later, I get a call from Thale. Thale goes, Dan, I need to show you something. We go down there to the church, and Thale's got a stack of papers from a lawyer. We commenced to walking off thinking we've got a deed to one piece of property. Lo and behold, we got a deed to the cemetery, the parking lot, the church, and the house the church owns. One prayer, 2 weeks, 30 years of trying. All right. The church moves along. God says there's greater and bigger things we're going to do inside of this church here, and He starts to show them to us. The church breaks away from its denomination, sets up, creates its own body. I love what Don Van always says. There's no such thing as a non-denominational church. There's not. Just by its nature, it is denominational. But looking for diversity inside of this church, we've had four pastors pass through this church on occasion. One of them actually came up to me after the service and said, Danny, I went to my church this morning. He was an associate pastor. He said, I went to my church this morning. I told my wife I had somewhere else I needed to be this morning. He came to that church. We talked. Didn't talk about why I felt like he needed to be there. But with tears in his eyes, he was telling me, he says, I've got to go back my way now. What we're learning in that church is by the people that go through that church. Maybe it's the springboard God uses them to re-energize them or to move them forward into the next phase of what God wants them to do somewhere else. Fairview is a unique situation. If you look at it from the outside, it looks like a traditional old church building. If you go into the inside of it, it's got a sound system, CD players. We got the screen that comes up and down automatically, the projector that we still haven't figured out how to get back up to and clean. So if you go in there, it says, please clean filter. We're working on that. We're working on that. But as we move through and we look at these things out here, there's a lot of lessons that I've learned from that church. There's a lot of lessons that I've learned from being in this congregation, and I thank this congregation for being here. And there's a lot of support that have come from Van and from other people around that I'm greatly thankful for. I used to joke about a pastor friend of mine. It seemed like every time he went to a new church, he ended up in the hospital. Well, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks after I got set up and was really feeling like we were starting to move over at Fairview, which, note, I never asked to be there, I got diagnosed with Lyme's disease. I appreciate the prayers of this church and the support of this church for me as I was going back through and just spent about a year of my life incapacitated, really trying to figure out what was wrong with me. But one of the most amazing things about this time in life was I had this church that wrapped in around me. I had Fairview that was constantly checking on me and stuff. And I couldn't get over the love that was out there. Now, as we shift gears and look at a greater picture out there to all this babbling that's been going on, I'm going to share with you some things that I've learned. And I think they're critical to us as we move through as a church today. If you want to sum up my past, there's no great story. In the 10th grade, I was at a revival, and that's whenever I felt that it was the time in my life to go and profess my faith in Jesus Christ. I remember the song. I remember the location. The song was Rock of Ages. And the location, it was in Fairview, actually where the sound boards are set up now is where I was sitting at. I was sitting back there. I love the way the youth sit up front here. My day, we all sat in the back so we could get away with stuff. But we were sitting back there, and before I knew it, boom, I was out walking up towards the altar. Then in my life, I had my experience where I was baptized by the Spirit. Won't go in great detail on that. I just have a very special kindred with chapter 6 in the book of Isaiah. As I've been involved with the church over there, and I've looked at things, I've learned a lot about God. I've not read any scriptures yet. I started doing my sermons whenever I started preaching on computer. Then I realized there was a very dangerous thing about a computer. You can type 10 words, misspell a word, and what do? You delete it out. I won't get in what I needed. I started writing all my stuff out. That way, if I didn't like what was written or if I felt like I needed to change something, I'd just mark a line through it. I'd go back and read it later. There would actually be two thoughts there. But what I've learned in there and through this whole incident with Vanna saying, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to be on the outside. I'm supposed to be, and I started off saying throwing rocks, shaking things up and stuff. I learned through this process, Van, that there's an ordered discipline inside of the Bible. There's an ordered way God wants things looked at. But if we get too complacent in looking at them, we start to really draw down and get too complacent in the way we look at God. And that's amazing. One chapter, one verse that really sticks out to me in the Bible is in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. God's talking to, or through the prophet, God is saying, listen, if you will seek me with all of your heart. Spent 45 minutes talking about that one Sunday in a church. Seek God. How many times in our life, as we move through with Christians, and we move through as witness in life, we talk about seeking God. It's like God's this mystical being we've got to go looking for. Now, whenever I got saved, I put it on a shelf and I let it go. And that's how a lot of people live their lives. It's check off. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I've got a friend I talk to regularly now. One thing they say, you know, I'm not worried, I'm covered. They talk about their baptism like an insurance policy. I'm not worried, I'm covered. Here it is, the policy's on the shelf, is what goes through my mind. You know, in this relationship with God, God's never hid. God has been in the middle of all things at all times forever. Now, as God is there, as we come into this relationship seeking to be obedient with God, what we start doing is we start seeking. Maybe this relationship with God and this time is when we are going to allow ourselves not to find God, but to find ourselves in God. And if we find ourselves in God, then we're able to hold ourselves accountable. God loves us. We've got baggage, we've got things that we stack up in our heart, and what tends to happen over a period of time is we take the baggage out and put it in boxes. And we've got our boxes. We've got our church box, our kid box, our family box, our vacation box. We've got all these boxes in our heart, and it's almost like a Rubik's Cube we've got great control over. We're able to move these boxes around in different ways so that when it's time to do this, we can plug it in. But when it's time to do something else, we unplug it, and we're able to slide the pieces around and move to the next box. What I learned with God is God don't work that way. With me, God is, okay, you plug into God box, everything else takes place. One of the biggest things I made a discovery on since the 1st of August is this right here. I kept God over here on the side. Even being pastor at this church, I put more focus over here. Every year, our family goes down to Myrtle Beach and we go to Christ United Methodist Church at Myrtle Beach that's in the old Crook and Chase Theater. And I had a very moving experience there this year. And I actually had the opportunity to concede to God that, yeah, you know, I got to get my life in order. Got to get my life in order. And this was part of that seeking process. And it was part of something else that I was struggling with over there in John. What I'm struggling with over there in John is I love the 23rd and 24th verses in the 4th chapter. The time now is, the time is coming now is. For true worshipers. And then you move down to the next chapter, to the next verse. God is spirit. We got to worship God in spirit and in truth. So as I move through with all of this right here, I conceded to God at last. I says, God, okay, you've called me out to witness, to speak your word. That will now be the first thing in my life. I will do that. Everything else has got to build up to that. But even after moving in front of a church, it was a period of time for me to make that move. But you know what? The whole process of it, God was patient. He didn't beat me up because of it. He put me on a course and figured I would learn as I went along. And I learned that. And it's becoming a more powerful thing in my life as I go through that night and wrap my arms around it. And I try to work with this thing called truth out there. When we got truth in our lives about God, God is not hiding. When we've got the truth in our life about God, we tend to hide from that because it scares us to death. You ever really looked at the chaos that goes on in the world out there and look at the chaos that goes on in your own life out there? Do you really grasp and wrap your hands around the fact that God put His Son on the cross to die for our sins? And for some people, that is a hard pill to swallow. That somebody gave freely, gave lovingly, and gave without expectation a sacrifice that we may live eternal life. You can't write a check to cover that. You can't repay it in any way. So as we go through life and we look at our obedience with God, when we get the seeking thing out, I'm still working on it. When we get this truth thing out, what does it lead us to? What does it lead us to? Have you ever really thought about this? I come back from Myrtle Beach with this overwhelming thing. Just, I spent a week on the internet talking with people and just really looking at this. Looking at where God's carrying me to. I'm not going to fully disclose everything now because there's still some things in the works on the background of it out there. But one of the big things I want to challenge you with today is where we stand as Christians and how we move our lives in the non-Christian world. Have you ever really thought about that? Have you ever really thought about how many people drive by church on a Sunday morning? And when they drive by this church on a Sunday morning or any church on a Sunday morning, they look at it, and they go on to wherever they're going. Have you ever really thought about the people that come into a church on a Sunday morning and they're here on time, they sit in their seat, and at 11:30, 12, 12:30, whenever the time may be, they get up, they walk out, and they leave. Never really engaging. How about the people that will actually get the nerve up to walk into a church building, and they may stay for a few minutes, but they leave? From these examples, there's great things we can learn as Christians. And there's a verse inside of the Bible in Matthew, the 9th chapter, that really stirs my soul and sort of puts me on where I am right now. If we look at where we stand as Christians and how we live our day-to-day lives out there, what we've got to consider is, have we become too comfortable? I've become too comfortable. I got moved into a congregation that wanted to shake things up. And let me tell you how shook up this church is right now. They broke away from the Presbyterian body with blessings. We got a church body that is made up of Presbyterian and Free Will Baptist. I was raised in a primitive Baptist church. Baptized in a Presbyterian church, come of age in a Methodist church. God's blessed us with what we'll call an associate lay speaker out there now, who comes out of a Pentecostal Baptist church to some degree. There's a melting pot of people there. And as we look at our lives as Christians, are we that melting pot? Or do we become isolated inside the walls of our own church, doing our own routine, and really moving forward with life that has no adventure in it? A book I've recently been reading, and Van, yes, it's good, the word's domesticated. We become domesticated. Going back to our people who are walking by the doors and not coming in and stuff, you know what's so cool about these people are? They know why they're not coming in the church doors. They know why they get up and walk out. Maybe they have a comfort level with being uncomfortable. Inside of a church today, what I have found working with Fairview and exploring my calling and exploring the scriptures and stuff is simple. I've become highly uncomfortable. I've become highly uncomfortable with where I was, and I am still struggling to seek out and grasp at whatever I can to find out where I'm going. And that's sort of what I hope's happening in your lives today, that we break out of this comfort zone. If you had told me 3 years ago that I was going to be going, one, into the ministry, two, in front of a church, three, in front of a church that was mostly comprised of elderly senior citizens, I would have said I would have never fit in that environment. But if you took some of the mechanisms out and said you were going into a body of people that were seeking to totally worship God and that were dedicated to their cause and they were working, I would have said, sign me up. Sometimes it's not what we do, it's how we present what we do. I had this thought a couple of weeks ago, and it worked its way into a message. And I sort of wind things up here today. I want to leave you with a thought, because it shakes me up every time I think about it. We live in a time of chaos. And it's no different than any other time that has been before. There's always been chaos. Whatever you want to define that chaos as, there's always been an underlying force chipping away and throwing stones at Christ, the Christian belief, and it's Satan. We can live our lives, but we got to keep one thing in mind. It doesn't matter where we are in the world. It doesn't matter where we are economically, socially. It doesn't matter. Because in life, we all do the same two things. And you don't have any choice about it. You're born. Everybody in here is born. And as it says in the Bible, everybody's got an appointed time to die. You can amass great wealth during this time period. You can do nothing during this time period. But whatever you do during this time period of amassing wealth or whatever stays on the top side of the ground when you go to the bottom side of the ground. And that's a harsh reality. It's a harsh reality to put in perspective. But a lot of people get hung up in that. They're living their lives not thinking about death. In a time like this, they live their lives, and we as Christians come out and want to power talk them about eternal life. And they're worried about living one more week without dying. They're worried about it. This thing about living and dying out here is simple. Jesus' power drove nobody. He showed compassion. He spoke freely. And he says in the Bible, I spoke nothing in secret. I spoke it all truly. Jesus would sit with the poor. He would sit with the hungry. He stayed away from the notoriety as much as he could. God put Jesus on the cross that we may live an eternal life. With me, I can look back over my life and it's just been one little nugget, one little grain, one little thing compiling on to where I am today. But I want to go back to this thought. You come into the world with nothing. And I challenge that statement. And you go out of this world and all your wealth and everything you leave behind. You can't take it with you. And what would you do with it if you did? You're dead. At least you're dead in the body. Before you're born, you're created at conception with the love of God. You come into the world under the love of God. Through grace, we live our lives in the love of God. And if we were obedient, we go out of this world knowing that through the love of God and the grace that Jesus Christ was sacrificed on that cross, that we don't have to search for God, that He is there. We have got to find our place in God. My challenge for you as we walk out of this place today, and I'm going to invite Travis up, because I think we need a serious time of prayer, is that we get uncomfortable with God again. That we go back to when we first felt that void being filled. And when we moved our lives out of where it was to where that life needs to be at in God. And that we focus on God. And we focus on love. And we focus on the fact that that cross is for everybody. And that we get up and we get out of our comfort zones. And that we realize that in our lives, that as we live our lives, whether we're 8, 10, 15, 80, 85, 90, I passed a sign the other day in front of a house that said, Happy 105th birthday to Mom. That when we live our lives, that it's only through grace. And that our lives should be like Jesus. That example that Christ put forth. That there is nothing that we can't do in God. And as I've learned, I still work a job. I still work with the Cub Scouts. I'm still involved with the United Way. I still have a family. And now I have a church. People says, how do you manage it? Well, one thing's really come clear to me. God's not going to put any more on you than you're able to carry. And I think that's an area we need to dig down. We need to load our plates up with God. Because the goodness of God and the grace of God is what's going to make the difference. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you call us out, you bring us forth at all times, Heavenly Father. The old, the young, the in-between, Lord. We pray to you this day, Lord, that you'll pour your Spirit out among us, that you will challenge us to live our lives in a new and uncomfortable way, Heavenly Father. that you can look back through examples given, and we can find that foothold that we can get on, that we can get out of our boxes, Heavenly Father, that we can plug in God and we can stay with You, Lord, that we can see the sacrifice and understand fully how it applies to us, and that we just don't stop there, Lord, that we carry that sacrifice fully with us, that we're able to compassionately show that love to other people without judgment, without characterization, but with the fullness that Christ showed it for us. As we close out this day, Lord, if there's individuals inside this church that need to be prayed for, if there's individuals who want to come forth and be prayed for, Heavenly Father, You have servants in here in the lay pastors and in senior pastors of this church, Lord. Let them come forward, and those that want to be prayed for, Lord, let them walk up freely, that they can get this opportunity, Lord, to get things off of their chest, to unload some of this baggage, Heavenly Father, and that they can fully feel Your grace and Your mercy and Your love flow down upon us. For it's in the name of Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen.